following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eat, Sleep, List. You're home for list making here on the network at bicbp-radio.com. My name is Dan Torres, and this week, ladies and gentlemen, we are all back for the first time in forever. Not like the Ludacris album, back for the first time, but we are back. And I will introduce in the order that I'm seeing the brainchild of the show, our good friend, Mr. Matt Johnson. Hello, buddy.
Hello.
And, of course, our other good friend, the other part of the trifecta on the show, Mr. Brian Finch. Brian, welcome. I'm so happy to see you both in the same place. It's been so long since we all got to like hang out together.
Seriously.
Yeah. It has been quite the eventful February leading into March, and I don't see it slowing down at all. So I'm glad there's three of us.
Yes. Yeah,
I'm grateful. I'm glad. Yeah, we still haven't seen each other all together in person in quite some time. But this is nice. It is always nice to, you know, something to look forward to with you guys. Just sitting down and making lists like we do best.
I agree. And I wanted to bring up in person at some point before we left tonight. So that's something we'll talk about off air, too, making sure we get something. But it is awesome to see you both. It's so crazy. It's March 5th, 2025. The Sabres have not made the playoffs in how long? Like 16 years now or something ridiculous like that. However long the Jets haven't made it, the Sabres haven't made it in the same time frame. but we got the John Cena heel turn before we got a Sabres playoff before you know, before I got the Chronic, or no, not the Chronic, Detox, which was the Dr. Dre album that never came out that was supposed to. I got it before a lot of things, but I was bummed that I wasn't with you boys on Saturday when that happened. I could only imagine the reactions that were going out of the Finch household.
So I left early. I left after the match because I was like, I don't. The Rock's just gonna talk. I talked my ear off and. It's going to be a 20-25 minute segment. He's going to be drunk. But we drove home. I drove our buddy Will home. And when I got here, because I had to record that evening after that, he goes, don't look up any spoilers. Just watch the end. And it was surreal. I'm pissed I missed it. But wow. What a turn of events.
Yeah. I also missed it live because I have a new puppy in the house and I had to take the puppy outside, and the two non-wrestling fans with the wife and our good friend Eric Yon inside watching while I'm outside with the dog, they have no appreciation for what they saw. I come in and I see blood. I'm like, I'm sorry, what happened? You're beating the crap out of them. I'm like, beating the crap out of who?
Yeah, I had it spoiled online for me before I could even watch the show, which was so annoying. And I felt like the minute it happened, everybody had to go and spoil it because of how crazy it was.
Something like those viral moments, right?
This was the Hogan being the third man moment of the modern century. Like it was one of the craziest heel turns I've ever seen in my life. Had no idea it was coming at all. Which brings us to today's topic that we have for this list, which is the top 10 plot twists or things you didn't see coming in either movies or TV shows. I'm a big fan of really well-written scripts and things you don't see coming within scripts. And there are a lot of really good examples in media of these things happening. And I thought we each have such different tastes when it comes to these things, too. I want to see what kind of things you guys bring to the table when it comes to this, because sometimes a good plot twist can make or break a show. I'm curious to see your thought processes in coming up with these. Matt, I know that you're a big movie guy. Both of you are big movie guys, but yeah. I imagine you had some good examples to pull from for this one.
I actually didn't touch television at all because I don't know too many plot twists in like Everybody Loves Raymond or King of Queens. So I had to settle for movies, and I had a good time like thinking, you know, about it. And I had to think. This is the thing, too, when doing something like this. You have to put yourself in the mindset from when you first watched this film. You know, there's so many movies, like movies that I've watched probably dozens of times over that have incredible plot twists. And it's obviously not as surprising. But I think the important thing when crafting this list was remembering the first time that I had seen remembering the first time and just my visceral reaction to the first time I seen these films. So
I got a good mix of old school, where I was young and naive and I got easily. And then I have a few that are more recent where even as I felt like I was aging and maturing as a movie watcher, where I was dissecting the film as it went along instead of just sitting back and taking it all in at one time like you do as a child. Yeah. It's hard to like separate it. But as you get older and you get used to watching so many different ways of delivering a plot, you do find yourself, and I'm sure it's more prevalent in TV shows, that you're like trying to figure out who the killer is, or you know what I mean? So you get better as you get older. So the ones that make the list as you're, you know, full grown adult, and I'm well in my 40s. I have one here that I saw 2 years ago, that I didn't necessarily see coming. You know, that's when you stand up and give a little of applause, like, all right, well done.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of very predictable television and stuff out nowadays. I feel like there's this formula that everybody just tries to stick to. So if something really does get you, it stands out. It means something.
Yeah, absolutely. Without further ado, I'm ready to dive into this. Are you boys ready to make a list?
Absolutely.
Let's make a list.
Sounds great. Our top 10 plot twists in movies and or TV shows. Matt, you are technically, I guess, in the guest spot, so you can lead us off.
I don't know. With the success of the YouTube channel and
I know, like,
more recent appearance than me, I feel like I'm the guest, but I'm more than happy to let him kick it off here.
I feel, appreciate that.
Yeah, I feel like we're definitely at roundtable status in this show at this point. So it's a nice place to be in. But Matt, you kick us off for this list with number 10.
All right. So my number 10, it's hard to pinpoint one because I feel like this whole movie is just a bunch of plot twists. I'm gonna put everything in The Dark Knight. Is a plot twist. I feel like that movie, there were so many moments and things that surprise you. I always say that I catch something new every time I watch it to this day, and that movie's been out for a very, very long time. You know, whether it's the death of Jim Gordon or the Rachel dying and everything happening to Harvey Dent becoming Two-Face. There are so many twists and turns in that film that the Joker, I mean, the Joker's escape, to be honest with you, you think you got him and you don't. And like when you're first watching that movie, you're like, it's mind boggling. So I have to say, I know it's boring, but everything in The Dark Knight, every 10, 15 minutes was some new plot, a major plot affecting twists. So that's how I'm going to start this list off.
Yeah, I like that one. That I think you're entirely justified putting that, because my mind was also blown the first time watching that movie, and not even just as a Batman fan. Like, it was just really well written, and you never knew what was happening next when it comes to that. Yeah, not a cop-out at all, in my opinion. Very good when it comes to that. I should mention, before we go any further, that was a good one to start with. This list is going to contain many, many spoilers for a lot of different things, because we're talking plot twists and different things. So if you hear us mention something and you don't want to go any further with it, just maybe skip ahead to another entry or check out something else for right now if that's not what you're into. But you clicked on this episode, you knew the risks coming into this as well.
It's true. I can do the listeners a little bit of a favor, and if they click on this episode, they already know if I did it or didn't, but we don't normally add any sort of extra commentary to our episodes, because we do feel that the titles themselves are so straightforward, like, and you can consume it with understanding what the list will be about. But maybe this one I'll put spoilers in big, bold, capital letters.
Definitely fair. Very good start. Brian, number 10.
All right, I am going to get the cliche one out of the way. I hate to term it as cliche, but I think when you think of plot twists movies, you tend to think of a certain director, and you even tend to think of a certain movie. It may be higher on your guys' list if you have it on your list, but I will go with The Sixth Sense as my inaugural here at number 10. So, a movie I consumed, obviously, as a younger person. I was not an adult. I did not have an adult sort of mindset to it. So, yeah, I got duped. I knew something was off the whole time, but I wasn't exposed enough to plot twists that I was, like, waiting for something to happen. I wasn't waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? So when the big reveal happens, wow, I can do this without even doing a real spoiler. When the big reveal happens at the end of the movie, as a kid, I was definitely like, oh crap. And it falls into the category, I feel, of plot twist movies that the characters and the ghosts in it are so, I don't know, memorable to me. Maybe that's just because when I was exposed to it, it's worth a rewatch, which you can't always say maybe for a plot twist movie, because so much of it depends on the gotcha. You know what I mean? That the lead up to the gotcha doesn't always pay off. Whatever. I feel Sixth Sense is something I can rewatch, and it's definitely something when I think about, like, ghost movies, like, worth watching.
Yeah.
So good.
Excellent choice. Excellent choice. Yeah, I've seen that in a lot of lists as the biggest plot twist ever. I don't have it on my list, I must admit. But I don't think it's perfectly justified to be on anybody's list. So great choice.
Yeah, agreed. Very good. I'm going to kick my list off with the one that inspired me for this list. And it's so outdated now. But the first time I saw The Matrix, the plot twist right at the beginning of the movie, where it's like, oh, these guys are going after this guy and we don't know why. And then he takes the red pill and goes down the rabbit hole and realizes they're living in a simulation. Like, what? Like, that was insane. The first time you saw something like that, something so sci-fi and action-y, it just kind of changed everything. And I know that movie hasn't necessarily aged the best. That series definitely didn't. The OG one still aged pretty good. But it was just, the concept was so cool and so new, down to when deja vus represented different things, and like the glitches and everything like that. Like, that stuff really blew my mind the first time I saw it. So Matrix comes in at my number 10.
I love that entry because of the way when it occurs.
Yeah.
The beginning of the movie plot twist where, you know, it's tough to remember that one with a trailer in mind for me. It's just something that has existed in my memory for as long as I can remember now.
Yeah,
it's hard to think of, like, how did they sell that movie? Did we know that there was, like, some sort of, like, future setting with computer stuff involved, or didn't we know? I don't. That's like the thing with trailers, right? When you have like plot twists, of like, what do you keep? What are you holding back on?
Yeah, we're gonna have to look into that after this for sure. Because I have no idea. I can't remember a single trailer from my childhood for that movie or anything like that.
As I get older, I quickly realize I have become to realize I'm a blue pill guy. I wanna chew on the steak and not and know that it's not, you know. I don't want to know that it's not real. Let me just enjoy my steak, damn it. Joey Pantoliano. I love that dude and everything he's in.
Oh, he's the best. Dude,
all the way back to Eddie and the Cruisers. So
another reason to watch Sopranos, Matt. Joe Pantoliano plays such a scumbag in Sopranos. It's unbelievable.
I keep telling myself I'm gonna watch it and I just don't. It's when unfortunate.
When you start it, let me know because Chrissy and I will start it back up.
Okay. All right. Deal.
Very good. All right. On to number 9. Matt, kick us off.
Okay. So my number 9, some of mine are like, they're like fringe twists, but they were just things that I didn't expect to see. This is from Rocky IV. All right. Everything's happy-go-lucky. You know, Rocky's retired, and he's in a pool, and Cousin Paulie's got a robot thing, and everything's just going good, and we're going to have this awesome exhibition boxing match. And I'm like, oh, this should be cool, you know, seeing Apollo Creed and Ivan Drago, and Ivan Drago just beats the shit out of him. Like, it's bad. Like, it is... Really, I mean, it's rough, and that, like, I feel like for me, like Rocky films, like that happening was kind of like when Fast and Furious made this weird transition to these over the top action movies. Because I'm like, really, he's got to die? Like Apollo's got to die to get this whole movie in motion? Like, this is what we're doing here. But I remember being shocked because Apollo was such a big character in the first 3 films. And, I mean, it's a great way to establish a villain. You really see who Ivan Drago is as a person. And yeah, so I'm going to go Apollo getting his face punched in as my number 9 plot twist. Because I just did not think it would get that serious in that film. It never seemed like that. Like, Mick dying was like that was like a fringe on this list.
Yeah.
Maybe instead, but it was kind of understandable. But like a Apollo getting his face caved in a ring, that's a bit much. So I'm gonna go with that for my number 9.
Yeah, such a beloved and integral character in the Rocky series. And there's almost no reason for it other than it really. Well, maybe no, there is. Like, it pushes him to get out and of retirement and go fight, but. Dude, what a great choice. Man, I didn't think like
that. That's a really good one.
I'm kind of jealous of the
way. I thought it was kind of crappy on my end. I thought it was lazy on my end, but apparently I'm glad to hear it's a good one.
I don't know. Because the endings always sell it so much to me when I think of plot twists that I just like, I don't know.
Yeah, that is. I like the creativity on that one for sure.
Thank you.
Brian, you're number 9.
Yes. So I think if you don't get this reference, then you don't get where my mindset's at when I think of like plot twist, maybe. What's in the box? It's 7. And if you haven't seen 7, I give you permission to pause this episode and go watch it and then come back to the list. You might have to do this a bunch with all the movies we're listing.
So good.
I mean, that's such a good movie. We are listing potentially 30 different movies. But anyways, it's a killer cast. And I'm not looking for a plot twist the whole time because I feel like the storyline alone is compelling. It's got that eerie feeling without being completely in your face scary. There's just that foreboding feeling all the whole time. As they're uncovering this case, I'm not going to reveal it because maybe people haven't done it. gone and see it. But now that you've seen it and you know what I'm talking about when I say what's in the box, it was probably on my list the saddest plot twist on here, unfortunately. But or maybe second, we'll see. And it was once again one of the earlier ones for me. I watched that on my own. I like found it on one of those like free weekends of like Skinamax or HBO, whatever. And I watched it on my own without anyone around.
Oh God, I did the same thing, and I had to pause it like halfway through. I was like, maybe I'll watch this in the morning when it's not dark out.
When they got to the dude that was in the bed.
Oh.
And then he breathes. It's like, oh God, that thing's alive. Christ.
Oh God, that movie's so good. It's so messed up, but it's so good.
Oh yeah. I wish I knew who the director was. But I don't.
I can't think of it. But I'll figure that out as well. Very good. I love that entry. My number nine, I'm going to match you and throw Sixth Sense onto the list.
Pretty good.
It's just one of the most iconic twists of all time. I had to put it someplace on here. It's not one of my favorites, though. It's definitely like really cool that that's the direction it goes with Bruce Willis at the end. But it's the movie that made Shyamalan the most popular and the most famous as far as like, oh my God, he's known for the twists at the end of the movie, because that one was so crazy that he had to try to follow it up with every single twist in the entire world afterwards to make up for it. Which nothing wrong with making a career out of that. But that was the one that was the best in my opinion. Of course, Haley Joel Osment, of Kingdom Hearts fame as well as Sixth Sense fame, is near and dear to my heart. So Sixth Sense goes at my number nine.
Very good. Very good.
That's iconic.
I can't remember the last time I watched this movie, to be honest with you. And this is pushing me to kind of want to find a way. Is it streaming anywhere? Do you know if it's streaming anywhere?
Be, yeah.
If not, I'll try and get you the DVD.
I appreciate that.
It's right here. I'll just reach back and grab it. And Seven is too. And that's a David Fincher.
Yes.
Oh, the Fincher. The Fincher.
You should have known that, right?
You should have known. I'm gonna call you Brian Fincher.
Okay. Don't,
yeah. But he did Fight Club too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, never David Fincher did Fight Club.
He said never heard of it.
Never heard of Fight Club. Okay.
All right. On to a number eight?
Yes, number eight.
All right. This movie fucked me up many, many years ago. So I've only seen this film once, and it was in my media productions class in the 11th grade. And it's a Stephen King novel. It's based on a Stephen King novel. It's called The Mist. Has anybody seen it before?
Good movie.
Okay. The ending. Fucking yeah. Terrible, right? Sad. Brian, have you ever seen The Mist?
I have not.
Okay. So I'm going to recollect it as best as I can. So basically The Mist is like it just happens over this area, and a bunch of monsters come and start murdering people. And Thomas Jane's character gets stuck in a
Punisher?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He gets stuck in a store, and there's a crazy religious cult that keeps growing and growing and growing. And they finally escape the mist, but as they're in a car, but as they're driving away, they realize that there's really no escaping in sight. So him, his son, who's with him, and a couple other survivors, they decide to end it all, okay? But there's only enough bullets for four other people, including an elderly couple and Thomas Jane's son. His name, the main character's name is David, and he ends up killing them all. And so he gets out and screams for the monsters to kill him. And right after, he gets out, like, after he does all this, after he mercy kills all these people, including his son, and starts screaming outside, the military drives by and is starting to clear out the mist and all of the monsters. And it just ends with him on his knees, like, screaming, you know, if he just would have waited. So, it was, I mean, it felt like you were getting a bad ending anyway, but, like, when you're watching it in the moment, you're like, damn, if he just would have waited, like, a minute. Like, if he would have just waited another minute, like, it could have been avoided. But, he drove by his own house and his wife was dead, too.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Which is another thing that kind of led to it all. So, crazy. It, very on brand for Stephen King. But that there was really no happy ending. There was just no happy ending. The way that the film ended up, the way it was going, the direction, there was just no happy ending for it. So that is my number eight, the ending of The Mist.
I thought The Mist was when if The Mist got you, then you turned inside out. Is that a different Mist movie?
It must be a different Mist movie.
There's another movie that has to do with Mist, and if The Mist gets to you and you, like, breathe it in, it, like, turns your body inside out. Am I just thinking of Simpsons? That happens sometimes.
No, it was. There
it
is, like, there's
in the couple, Simpsons, though, right?
I think, yeah, no, it definitely did.
Simpsons are
horror.
Simpsons did it.
Simpsons
did it.
Yeah, that happened on The Simpsons at the end of a Treehouse of Horror episode.
Right. And then they do a little cane and hat dance.
Do one singular sensation.
Yes, there you go. My man.
Yeah.
He even knows the song.
I'm a theater geek, dude. It happens.
And The Simpsons rule.
That's so good. I'm very good, Matt. That's a great movie to include on there.
I'm never going to watch it now.
I know. I just ruined it.
I know. Brian, you're number eight.
I probably was going to watch it anyways. I'm going to go with the movie Shutter Island. Have you guys seen Shutter Island?
Ooh, good movie.
I have not, but I heard a lot about this film and plot twist today. So,
okay. So I'm not spoiling nothing for you. I'm like, you did for me. Shutter Island was a movie that I was super hyped to see just because of, I love the way it was shot. It was very gritty, a little noir-y without being in the black and white. I love anything to do with an insane asylum. That just sets the mood, right? And just about anything Leo touches is gold, right? So it seemed like a perfect movie for me. And this is one of the ones as a adult that got me. I wasn't looking for a plot twist. I probably should have been. Is this a Shyamalan movie?
No, I want to say, hold on. Let me look and see.
Scorsese.
It was a Scorsese. Oh, yep.
Okay. Just say,
I thought. I was going to say him, but I didn't want to be wrong.
I just went with three straight S's for my movies. not on purpose. The plot twist is great. It's very sad, just like Seven, when it's revealed what Leo's predicament actually is. And it delivers, but you know what? I don't think I haven't gone back and watched it more than maybe just once since I bought the DVD. I think I bought the DVD, and that night that I bought it, we watched it, and I haven't since. Yeah. I mean, I own like 290 movies, so it's it's tough to just like say like, oh, I bought it and never watch again. Well, that's not saying much. There's probably a ton of movies in there that
I have several like that.
So I would recommend at least watching this movie once. Leo's fantastic in it, as he normally is. And I like it. Like, I love the way it's shot. It's really kind of gritty, and it's a sadder story, but you'll get through it.
Yeah,
it's good.
Great choice.
It's a sad story, but man up and get through it.
Yeah. It's not falling in your hands kind of movie.
No, not at all.
You'll be mad about it the whole time.
It's so good.
All right, Dan's number eight.
My number eight. This is where it starts to get a little tough. I'm going to so let me start out here with something a little less on the shocking side, but I'm going to go to season two of Breaking Bad towards the end of it. Did either of you watch Breaking Bad while it was on the air?
I watched a couple
not on
episodes,
air, but I've watched it.
Okay, yeah. So
I'm
not
terrible with TV shows. I really
yeah
am.
Yeah. Not while it was on air. What I meant, but just in general. So Jane's death in season two. The first time I saw Breaking Bad, that threw me so hard. I was not ready for her to die at all. She. So for people who haven't watched Breaking Bad, there's Walt and Jesse, as people know, are the primary two characters. And in season two, Jesse ends up running this apartment from this girl who was a drug addict and is now clean. And something happens. And then they start sleeping together. And then at one point, he loses one of his friends and he starts going heavy into drugs. And then Jane starts going heavy into drugs with him. Again, like she relapses and then they start using heroin together and it's like just not a good situation. But then they're blackmailing Walt in a sense. And the one night he comes through into their bedroom and it looks like he's thinking about killing one of them or doing something like that. And then all of a sudden Jane just starts ODing in front of him. Like they were on heroin and she ODs right in front of him. And that's how the episode ends, with him just like leaving the scene and like not helping her or anything like that. And it just left you with this feeling of, oh shit, next episode, Jesse's going to wake up and see her dead. Like that's the first thing. And it just left you with that. And it was, I'll never forget that feeling. It was such an empty, empty, well-written conclusion to that whole ordeal that I did not see coming. So I thought Jane deserved a spot on that list at number 8.
Very good.
Super, super brutal scene.
Oh, so bad. And then later on in the show, when all this stuff is happening, he sells Jesse out and tells Jesse to his face, the night Jane OD'd, I watched her OD and I did nothing. Like, he just straight up tells it that, yeah. Walt's such a piece of shit by the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, there he's an asshole, and by the end of the show, it's just a straight up super.
Just full-blown piece of shit.
Very good entry.
Thank you, sir. Number 7.
Okay, number 7 for myself. I actually just pulled a quick audible on this one, and I'm glad I did. So this is from a fantastic football movie that came out in 1999, 2000, called Remember the Titans.
Mm.
Oh, yes. You totally just duped me.
Did I? What did you think I was going to say?
Draft Day.
No, there's no plot. I mean, actually, you know what? There is kind of a plot twist. There is kind of some plot twist in there. But I remember watching this movie for the first time, and everything's going good. I mean, the whole film is just a struggle, right? It's a nonstop struggle. Denzel Washington's character, if he loses a game, he's fired. You know, we're talking about a lot of, you know, like school integration and all this that is, you know, this stuff going on, and everything's going really good, and they're celebrating this thing, and Jerry, who's played by Ryan Hurst, I believe is his name, gets into a car accident, right? He's been probably one of the main player characters of this whole film, and he's really been the one that helped bring the team together, and now he's in a car accident, and he's messed up, paralyzed from the waist down. So that's tragic in its own. But I remember watching this movie and I said, man, yeah, these movies like that, they bring it so down so they can bring you back up. And then I remember for some reason before the ending saying then they bring you down again. And then they show and talk about how 10 years later he ends up passing away in another accident. And it was like such a somber moment. Like ending, like you just wanted to see like this team, everything that they had been through, right? They came together and and you know what, they just kept winning. They just kept winning, and it was just, the ending was just awful. Like, it was just sad to have that character do that. And I'm pissed because my brother met him at Nickel City Con, Ryan Hurst, and I shook his hand, and then as I was walking away, I was like, fuck, that was Jerry from Remember the Titans. So mad. I was so mad. I mean, I shook his hand, but I should have got a picture with him. But yeah,
he's the man. He's on Sons of Anarchy too.
Yes. He's a fantastic dude. I was just taking
huh? He's Opie.
That's Opie?
Yeah, Ryan Hurst is Opie.
He's got the giant beard on his face.
Yeah,
bro. He looks totally different.
He was so nice to me. I was
talk
only
about
there.
Another one.
I was just sitting there. I was just sitting there to take Mark Angelo's picture with this guy, and he actually walked up to me and shook my hand. I was like, this is cool. And
that's
I really
cool.
regret not taking a picture with him. But yeah, man. What a plot twist. And it's not even a movie that really required it. I mean, it's a sports movie, which are always nice. You know, you have some kind of adversity, but all the good mood, everything that they had built up for, just kind of just sucked the energy out of you by the time the movie ended. So that is my number 7.
Excellent, very very good.
Thank you.
I'm really liking your list. It's not the traditional plot twist. It's really
you know me.
Ones.
I'm an oddball, so I
in a great way.
I will shoehorn all sorts of bullshit into a list to try and make it sound like I'm really good at discussing the topic that I'm doing.
Oh my god, you're the best. This is right on brand.
Thanks, buddy.
Brian, you're number 7.
Let's go to a movie that I saw recently that it was like, but it's around for a long time. It's a 90s movie, a Kevin Spacey movie. It's called Usual Suspects. Usual Suspects is a heist police drama movie, and you get to meet these different characters. Benicio del Toro's in it. I forget who else is and makes up the cast. It's a really solid cast. But the reveal of Kevin Spacey at the end of the movie is so brutal, dude. And it was something that I don't know if it paid off for me. Like some of the plot twists, like, wow, you got me, and you walk away and you're happy. And then this plot twist was like, it happened. I was like, you son of a bitch. I don't like this twist at all. This twist sucks. Like, it's a good twist, and they did a good job of getting me, but I wasn't happy with the outcome. I didn't. No. I like happy endings. That wasn't a happy ending at all. Those are really another. It was like, you know, we had an opportunity, I thought, in that movie of letting the normal procedures go down. I'm trying not to give away anything, but I feel like I'm like, by doing so, I'm sounding like an idiot. But you have to watch Usual Suspects. It's a movie. It's not too dissimilar from Heat for me, because I have not seen Heat yet, and I will see Heat soon. Soon as I find it on the streaming, I might get it at the library.
Oh, dude, Heat's so good.
I know, right? That's the Dane Cook joke when he's like, every guy wants to be in a heist. And he's basically just like referencing Heat.
So good.
So yeah, Usual Suspects, Kevin Spacey, gotta watch it. It's a great plot twist.
Excellent movie, excellent plot twist in that movie. It's so good.
It's definitely one that's like, it would have to be on one of our three lists.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't think outside the box nearly as well as Matt does, barely. So
I know
I can't even fit in a box. I'm a big fella. So,
so you just exist outside it.
I exist outside of it.
I am the box.
I am the box. Very good.
Thanks, you're number 7.
My number 7, I'm going to say, the fact that Violet's dead in the first season of American Horror Story. When American Horror Story was written really good, it was written really, really good. Now it sucks. Like, it's so bad. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But the first season is real, one of the examples of it being really, really good. And it's about this family that moves into this house, this couple and this daughter. The couple is getting over an affair that one of them had. And, like, there are all these ghosts in the house and these weird things are happening. And eventually, Violet tries to kill herself and you think that she survived, but she actually didn't in that episode. And she's walking around dead like a bunch of episodes later and not realizing she's a ghost. And when you finally realize, it's such a crazy, crazy twist. Yeah, like I said, when it was really good, it was really good. But when it wasn't, it's just bad. But that was an example of it being really good. So I wanted to include that on this list, Violet from American Horror Story Season 1.
I jumped in on Season 2. How weird is that?
I mean, they each start separately, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it's not linear at all. It's just similar actors, right? They have similar actresses. Yeah.
They kind of use the same ensemble for different seasons. So I actually started at Season 4, I'm pretty sure. So I started at Season 4 and went back, and Season 1 is, like, peak. It's really, really good.
Amy used to love that show, so when I used to go over, I'd watch it with her. So I didn't watch too many seasons, but the one I remember was the one with the blood moon.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think
that
was Apocalypse.
Creepy.
I want to say that.
I can't remember. But yeah, they were in a house and all these ghosts and spirits from some angry, like, colonial era settlers were like.
That might be Roanoke.
That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, that's Roanoke. That's Roanoke. Yeah, it's the well-written seasons are really, really good. But when it's bad, like Freak Show was so bad. The first season I watched was so bad. I've never seen a TV show that bad. But I digress. On to our number six, Matt.
So you had me going for a second telling your story about not realizing they're a ghost because I was like, wait, did I miss you taking this one? This one I faintly remember. I vividly remember some of the main scenes of it, and that's why it stuck out. So I had to go do some digging up and research. But this movie is from 2001. It's called The Others. It stars Nicole Kidman. Okay. We're going through the movie and she thinks the house is haunted. But at the end of it, like her kids can't, like, the sunlight bothers them. So, but anyways, you go through the full movie and at the very end, you find out that her and her kids are actually the ghost, which is like, crazy. Basically the reason why they're ghosts was because their husband, Nicole Kidman's husband character, was killed in World War II. So that night she was a mess and smothered her children and killed herself.
Jesus.
So it's dark. It's really dark. I just remember coming in around this, like, around the ending scene. My parents had rented it from Blockbuster, and I wasn't allowed to watch it. Or I did watch some of it. But yeah, so they've actually, like, yeah, the stuff was moved. But her and her kids were actually the ghosts. And these other people who had moved in, who she thought were the ghosts, were actually the actual people. It's a whole weird, wild chain of events. I'd like to rewatch it again someday. But yeah, I was listening to a Watch Mojo list and it brought it up. I was like, oh shit, that's the movie. That's the movie that's what that movie was called. So yeah, The Others comes in at my number six.
Very good.
I saw
imagine
that.
Thinking, yeah. Sorry, that again. I'm sorry.
No, it was I saw that on a few lists and I was like, I don't know what that movie is. And now I know it's a movie I can't watch with my wife. Or I shouldn't let my wife watch it. Because maybe we'll end up dead.
Hey, Brian, give us your number six.
Oh, my number six. Great idea. I think that there's one director that deserves to be on this list multiple times for me. And this movie I watched because I knew that it was like almost comic book based, but not quite. It's Unbreakable. And this is another Shyamalama movie. And it's actually a trilogy that I've never finished. I've only seen Unbreakable. I've never seen Mr. Glass. I've never seen, what's the last one they did? They did Mr. Glass.
It was really good.
Yes, I heard it was phenomenal.
That one was really good.
So I will get to those at some point. But this movie alone was such a fun movie to watch. It starts Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, and the plot twist comes towards the end, but not the exact end. Or is the exact end? I don't know. At least in the last quarter of the movie or so. And I think it really did a good job of trying to paint a new picture of what a villain can be in a movie. And it can be from a person similar to the way that I always say in the movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, where I said, you know, this is how you make a modern day actual villain, is you watch this person go through pain and the way they're treated, physical pain, dealing with your own circumstances of that in life is enough to create someone and turn them into a villain of sorts. And Unbreakable is absolutely I wouldn't say it blew me away, but as far as it's like the whole, I just love the whole movie. And so the plot twist gets elevated maybe a little bit more because of it.
Yeah, it's a good plot twist. And it's a very creative movie. Like the first time I saw it, it was on late night TV somewhere, like just being up and killing time. And I was sucked into it. I had no idea that they had made a superhero movie as creative and as bizarre as that one. And yeah, the twist is wild at the end.
But I do like this, that somebody analyzed it and there's like subtle hints to Samuel Jackson's character and how you know that you should have known that he's the villain, because he talks about the colors that they wear. When you look at what he's wearing, the way that the costumes that they have in comic books, how they're normally sharper angles when it comes to the villains as opposed to the heroes, which is more rounded, more asymmetric, you know?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Very good.
Thank you, sir. Your number six.
My number six. Let's go with the plot twist of the movie Get Out. Have you guys seen Get Out, the Jordan Peele movie?
I haven't seen any of his stuff.
Get Out is the one that, like, if there's anyone that you should definitely see, it's that one, because it's just, it's wild. But the subtle themes in it and, like, the way it actually could be like a modern day horror film are so good and so creative. And I don't even want to say what it is, but when the spoiler comes, or when the plot twist comes and you realize like what's going on, it's insane. And it makes you like very uncomfortable as to what's going on. It's the acting is brilliant. The directing is brilliant. It's the one guy from OG Black Panther that betrays the people in Wakanda that played Daniel something.
Yes, his name.
I can't remember what his last name is. But very, very good movie overall. Very incredible acting. Get Out as a whole, like the plot twist in that is my number six.
Cool. I gotta check it out.
So yeah, good. I've been meaning to for a while. I remember the memes of the guy running. That was surreal. But I haven't seen any of his movies yet. From everything that I've heard, he's really, really good at storytelling.
Yeah, he's very creative, very smart. It's interesting to watch his stuff. Genuinely,
I'm trying to think. This is the Key and Peele guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. What a very different route. But it's great because some people don't like to be pigeonholed
exactly
into sketch comedy or something. So it's always good to see.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. All right. We are on to our top five.
All right. So my number five, I'm going to go back to the first time I've watched one of these Star Wars movies. I'm going to go Return of the Jedi for this one. And it is the revealing of the twins, all right, when Luke and Leia figure out that they are brother and sister. I think back, I think it was around 99, 2000 when I first watched this film, because I was just coming off of the high of the very first, you know, Star Wars Episode One, which was my, you know, my first one. But it changed the whole perspective. So my first thought when I heard that was them kissing on Hoth. That was my first thought.
And
but it's
New
one
Hope.
Of those
wherever it was.
Yeah, it was beginning Hoth because her and got into an
right.
And
yeah.
Luke had just recovered. But it's one of those plot twists where it makes you have to like look back and re-watch everything. Right. It kind of changes your perspective of everything when they figure it out. Because there are a lot of plot twists that do that. I'm going to have one or two other ones that do that. But it's crazy. And it just added to their lore. Right. Like how much stuff has been explored. The whole prequel trilogies were explored leading up to their birth and so much more. A lot of extended universe stuff, legends, all that jazz has stemmed from that. You know, it's pretty crazy. And it's one of those things where I wish I could have lived to have been in a movie theater when that reveal happened. So, but I have one other one selection, that is probably, I feel similarly about. So my number five is Luke and Leia figuring out that they're twins on Endor in Return of the Jedi.
Very good.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy reveal when that happened.
Yeah, and I've said before, if you've listened to enough of my episodes of talking about Star Wars, especially the show that Matt and I had with our good friend Johnny, you heard me talk about how that was my first movie. So that doesn't hit the same if that's your first exposure to Star Wars. And then you go back and you watch A New Hope and then Empire. There's a different one that hits a little different. So, yeah.
I feel like we're going to be like-minded in that.
Well, dude, if we could do it all over again, right?
Yeah.
If we could do it all over again and not have watched any of this until today, and then you start watching Star Wars anew, and then you watch it, and especially in the, what do they call that? The machete order?
Machete cut, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? It's exciting, because I don't know. Have you tried with the girls yet, really, with Star Wars? Have you tried it all?
I don't know if it's
not happening.
It didn't happen at Disney World. It's never going to happen.
That's true. Maybe the dog. Maybe you can get the dog. But but I that's what I have to look forward to is and it's going to be crazy because I'm like numb to a lot of this groundbreaking stuff that happened in these films. But I when Bennett starts realizing things, like I get to have those moments with him. And oh, my God, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. What a fun thing to look forward to.
Yeah, I kind of want to be there. I want to be there for the big ones. So yeah.
Hey, Uncle Brian's here. He just showed up.
We're going to watch a movie. No big deal. Nothing special about it. The whole time, just like staring at him.
I know.
So funny.
Doesn't see it coming.
No.
I hate it.
He'll be like, I think I saw a summary of this on TikTok.
No. Hopefully that's dead by then. No, not hopefully, because we need it for crafting and drafting. But anyway,
yeah, that's true. We need it for our various pages now. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Brian, you're number five.
Number five is the most unique one to me because this one is a franchise that I made fun of for a long time because it's one of those horror movies that just they just keep making new ones. So Friday the 13th, the original, has one of, if not the coolest horror movie twists of all time when you don't get to see who the killer is. And then when it's finally revealed, spoiler, that it was the mom the whole time taking revenge for the drowning death of her son. It's an amazing reveal because nothing up to that moment makes you think that it's just some normal sized woman. but the rage of and the wrath of a mother is unmatched. And you get that in the original Friday the 13th. Now, for the rest of the movies, it's all zombie Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that movie, right, his hand comes up.
Yeah, it's that one in particular is so good. Just having it be the mom for the first movie is super creative.
Yeah, that threw me off. That threw me off when I figured that one out. But did you guys ever see that video that cycled around? Like it's some kind of like lake or something in Minnesota where there's like a Jason Voorhees statue at the bottom of it?
Yeah, there is. Yep.
So cool. It's
super cool.
It's eerie. Like,
I mean, I hope it's called Crystal Lake.
It might, because that's where it's supposed to be, right? Is it Minnesota?
It's the made up. I don't know if it's supposed to be taking place at a real lake in Minnesota called Crystal Lake, but that is in the movie. That's what the name of the campground is.
Yeah. Yeah. I do have, they had the Friday the 13th game, the original one for NES, but they had another one come out with like the PS4.
Yeah.
And God, that game was so much fun.
People love that game. Yeah, underrated.
Very underrated. I want to play it. There was just so much to do. I never did any of the online stuff, but just playing, you know, and you're Jason, and you gotta make sure you get all the. I always wanted to try to be the people, but I don't think you could do it normally.
Running away from them.
Yeah, and because you can get like the flare gun, you gotta hide, and you gotta try to escape, and there's all sorts of stuff. It's really well done. It's a really well done game. But great choice, Bri. Great choice.
Thank you, sir.
I agree. Let's jump from one iconic horror movie to another. I'm putting the original Scream on my list at number five.
Ooh.
That one. So I like the Scream franchise a lot. And the original is just so creative and so, so good. Just the transparency of... Oh, in a horror movie, this is what happens. No, this is what happens. Like that whole, I've always loved that whole shtick when it comes to it. Like the very awareness that they're in something and the audience being like, are you stupid? Like you're literally talking about how you shouldn't do this and you're doing this right in front of our very eyes. but it's super cool. Finding out that it was Skeet Ulrich and Matthew Lillard the entire time working together as the killers was such a good twist. And the changes in their demeanor and in their character when it's revealed are so good. It's just really good acting on top of everything, too. So I put the original Scream at my number five. It's iconic for so many reasons, but that reveal at the end is awesome.
Yeah, that's great. I'm dying here, man.
It's so good. Matthew Lillard is fucking iconic.
Yeah. I like him even more as a person than I did as an actor.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And I didn't even think that was possible because, you know, he was my freaking Shaggy growing up.
Good old Shaggy.
Good old Shaggy.
Oh, man. All right, on to number four. Matt, number four.
I don't even know how to describe this one. This is one of the most fucked up movies I've ever seen. Anybody ever heard of the movie Saltburn?
I've heard of it, but I've never watched it.
Okay. the whole thing is very, like, it's weird. So I'll lightly go over the plot. I'm going to use my good friends at Wikipedia to help guide me along. But this character, Oliver Quick, he's kind of the main character, but he's having trouble. He's in he's going to Oxford, and he's kind of not the most popular guy. But a really rich kid, his name is Felix, and takes him in, and over summer break, he brings him in, brings him back home to his family. And over the course of, I don't know how long, this Felix character and all of his family, his sister and others, they start dying. And it turns out that this Oliver Quick guy was the one who was behind it. There's some really gross stuff. I don't know if I want to get into it on here. If you've heard about it, you know what I'm talking about. But basically, Oliver has played a part in every single, like, you just think he's some innocent, normal kid, but he ends up murdering all the family and leading them to their deaths. And now, because he was there and brought in part of the family, because his own parents were really, really messed up, he owns the fortune of Saltburn and all of their money and this gigantic mansion over there. So literally the last scene is this kid dancing around naked around the Saltburn mansion. It's really, really gross stuff. Saltburn. Yep. Definitely do not watch in front of the kids. I don't even know. I don't even know how to describe some of it. It was so gross. But I was like, oh wow, a nice normal movie. I wonder what this is about. And yeah, it was not. So Saltburn. For those who want to look it up, Wikipedia will tell you everything. And just know that I did not willingly see this movie. I didn't see this movie willingly knowing what was going to happen in it. Obviously, you watch movies to kind of figure it out, but this was rough. So that's my number four.
Very good. Love that.
Yeah, I like getting a new one that I have to go check out.
Yeah. It came out 2 years ago, 2023.
Okay.
Very good.
I agree. This one's cliche. I'm trying to narrow down some of the cliche ones as we go along here. So at number four for me, we got another franchise out of this, but none of them have plot twists quite as big as this one. The movie Saw.
Yep, good one.
It really inspired me to rethink what makes a good horror. I love blood and guts, and that can sell me on a lot of stuff. But when you have to question everything that led up to a certain point and the reasonings for it and the desired outcome from all of it, that makes a very compelling movie. And that I will hold up Saw in the cinematic world as legit art. It's not a money grab. Mm-hmm. They weren't looking to start a franchise. It was just a well thought out, great artistic view on what motives a villain would have for causing pain to complete strangers. So that's why Saw's got to be on this list.
Very good. Oh man, I wish I had thought of that one.
It's one of the first that I thought of, because it's for Halloween one year, a friend of mine threw a big party, and I went as the doctor. I had a severed foot as a prop from previous Halloweens, and I attached it to a pair of jeans I had, and I made it look like it was.
That's pretty cool.
That's super cool. I love that. Very good.
Everyone got it too. That was the best part.
That's always nice.
Oh, dude, are you from Saw? I'm like, what gave it away? I'm holding a saw in my hand.
So funny. Very good. Awesome. My number four, I'm going to go to a series called Haunting of Hill House for this entry. I don't know if either of you have seen it at all. Brian, you've seen it. Perfect.
Which one?
It's the first series they did, the actual Haunting of Hill House series.
Because I know that
they did the Bly Manor one.
I knew it was a different name. Yes, I loved it.
Really, really good. But the Bent Neck Lady episode, dude, it blew my mind. When I watched it, it absolutely blew my mind. Let me remember this character's name. Nell, I want to say is her name. So yeah. There's this character named Nell. It's this story, essentially, Matt, is about this family that grew up in this house that basically, like, was haunted, and the house had a mind of its own. Like, it was just, like, all this wild stuff was happening there all the time.
I think I've seen this.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix, yeah.
This came out in the early 2000s, right?
Not early 2000s, but it was, right before COVID era, so like 2019, 2018 ish.
Okay, I didn't see this then.
But the one episode is about one of the siblings, Nell, who keeps seeing, like, it just shows throughout her life, anytime like a bad thing has happened, she's seen this ghost that she's referred to as the Bent Neck Lady. Because it's just a neck bent to the side. All this terrible stuff. Like, her husband has a brain aneurysm. And after she sees the Bent Neck Lady the one time, she sees her as a kid the one time. And it's, like, in her face saying, no, 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 no. Like, over and over again. It's, like, really creepy, well-written stuff. Then you get to the end of that episode. And on the advice of her therapist, Nell goes back to the house because the therapist is like, you need to confront your fear of this house and go back there, which is a terrible idea. Because then Nell gets sucked in by the house, and before she realizes it, like unconsciously, she's hanging herself. And when she hangs herself, all of a sudden she's going back through her life and, like, seeing herself in all of those bad moments, and you realize in that moment she's the Bent Neck Lady.
Mm.
Like, in those moments that she remembers, it was herself looking back through her life and seeing the old images of her life as she was flashing back through. It was such a good episode. It was one of the best written episodes of anything I've ever seen. But the twist was just crazy. So Nell and the Bent Neck Lady episode was just fantastic, and that's my number four.
So wait, what's this movie called again?
It's called Haunting of Hill House. It's a series.
Haunting of Hill House. Okay, I got messed up with House on Haunted Hill, which is the 99 film.
Yes. I think that's did that on purpose.
I'm thinking so, too. Because I remember this movie, and I remember it scaring the shit out of me. So I got very confused. So, okay, very good, very good.
And then that same director writing team did do another series, and it was called Blair Manson, you said?
Haunting of Bly Manor, and then they did this series called Midnight Mass after, which was pretty good. They did a couple of good things when it came to it.
I love that you picked that episode plot twist, which is the best twist in that show. But you left the ending of the show out, which is...
Yeah, that's a crazy plot twist in itself, too. Yeah. I didn't see that coming. Yeah, but yeah, I want people to be interested in it. It's a great show.
Yeah, and I don't think they took it down because it's a Netflix original, I think.
Yeah, it's still there. It should be. All right, on to our top three. Matt, number three, my friend.
Okay, we're going to talk about M. Night Shyamalan. Right here. So
making his first appearance.
Is it? No, it's the second, right?
Third.
Is it his third? Okay. Sorry. I had to wash my hands earlier of what I said. I literally went to the bathroom to wash my hands. I felt so gross after saying what I said. But So this movie came out. I've seen the movie Signs, right? I love the movie Signs. I think everybody knows that from 2002.
Swing away, bro.
So, yes, fantastic film. So right at this point, this M. Night Shyamalan is on my personal radar. So another movie comes out a couple years later called The Village, which a lot of people hated the plot twists in it. It didn't necessarily take me out of it. Shyamalan has had some really bad plot twists that have absolutely ruined films. I didn't see it that way with The Village, even though it took me many years to end up seeing it. But I just thought it was such a cool twist. And for those who've never seen it and want to know what I'm discussing about, you know, it's just this colonial era village. And you basically find out at the end of it that it was a scam the whole time. She has to go find medicine for Joaquin Phoenix's character because he was stabbed. And you end up finding out that that it's this, right? It's like a government thing. Like they had set aside land for them to have this traditional old school village, but they were living in modern times. And none of the people inside the village knew about it. And they used, you know, these monster costumes to scare people away from the woods, keep them away from the fence. And it's good. It was definitely a culture shock. I don't hold it up in the same regard as I do Signs, like not even close. But I thought that was an interesting twist. Like she's just over this fence and boom, there's vehicles and all sorts of things. But it left a lot of questions, and that's what a good plot twist does, is leave you with a lot of questions that some don't even get answered. But that is my number three, is the reveal that they're living in current times from The Village.
Yeah, I love that. It's been a while since I've seen that movie.
So when I first got Netflix in 2016 or 17, that was one of the first movies I seen it was on there, and I gravitated right towards it. But I had seen it on cable at least a time or two after that. So, it's a great concept. It's definitely a great concept.
Very good. Love that entry.
I'm not even aware of when that came out.
2004. I'm pretty sure. 03. I'm pretty sure it was 04.
I thought it was super cool and I was in a band then.
You're too cool for movies.
I was wrong. Yeah, I was wrong. I was not that cool.
You're still super cool. Don't worry.
I'm way cooler at 41 than I was at 21.
I love it. All right. You're number three, Bri.
Number three. Let's go with a must watch, out of nowhere, phenomenal plot twist, but the whole movie rules. It's Fight Club.
Yeah.
This is probably the real first plot twist movie that I watched, and I was like, wow, there are signs, but they're so subtle. They're like so subtle that you get to the end. Matt, you've seen it, Fight Club? Yeah,
I have. Yeah. It's been a very, very long time, but I have seen it.
So the reveal at the end that Brad Pitt and Edward Norton are actually one and the same, mm-hmm. and that it's been himself kicking his own ass for many months. It's phenomenal. It's him that's having all the sex with the girl all loud that he secretly hates. It's him who's actually secretly trying to create a terrorist organization. The whole thing, the Paper Street Soap Company, the whole thing, there's just like it. You never see it coming. And if you say you did, I'll probably never talk to you again, because I just think you lie about everything. I just think you're one of those habitual liars that just wants to be smarter than everybody else. Oh, I saw it coming. Okay, guy. All right. Thanks. Good job. Here's your medal. Watch it. Without the spoilers, with the spoilers, it phenomenal actors. Edward Norton rules. Brad Pitt obviously rules. David Fincher, we're saying, right?
He was the director. Yeah. Same guy that did Seven.
Almost really perfect, cool name, but you
know. Right.
Extra letters that you don't really need.
Yeah. Definitely gets lame after those last couple.
Yeah. Just ended at five? How many letters does my last name have?
Yeah, five.
It's cool, my five. Job to forget the numbers we're on.
Yeah, exactly. So you're lining up right where you're supposed to be.
You're number three, sir.
My number three, so I'm going to go with kind of an obscure one here. I'm going to take you back all the way to season one of Dexter. And I'm going to put the reveal that his nemesis the entire season was his older sibling at number one. When you're learning about Dexter, you learn that his parents were brutally murdered in front of him, and then he was adopted by someone in the police force who turned his primal instinct to kill into something that was quote-unquote positive for society that, of course, unravels later on and is no longer positive for society, as those shows always tend to do. But when you go to season one, when you get towards the end, you realize that the protagonist or the antagonist in that season is his older brother. And that when that whole when that murder happened, it was in front of the both of them and not just him. And you get to see the other side of what he could have become and the terrible, terrible person he really could have been from that. It was a great way to kick off that show. They had some really, really good plot twists throughout that series, but that was my favorite and it really sucked me in. The older sibling from Dexter is my number three.
I love that one. We're rewatching Dexter right now. We're on season two.
It's so good.
It went for a long time, right? I struggle with TV shows and stuff like that, but it had a pretty good run, right?
It went for a while, and the original ending was absolute crap, and then they just did like a spinoff series where it was like the aftermath of everything a couple of years ago, and it tied up the ending beautifully. Like, it made it seem like the first ending never happened, and I really, really liked how it went.
Okay. Interesting. I think Amy watched it before, too. She watches everything. She has time to watch stuff. I do not.
The actor in that that plays Dexter is really, really good. His sister, you can't stand by, like, the third season. But it's Deb's, like, great character, but, like, oh, my God, like, and she swears unnecessarily one more time. Like, she'll think of the wildest phrases that you're like, what the fuck did you even say that for? Like, it's just weird at times. All right. On to our top two. Matt, you're number two on the list.
All right. My last two are pretty mainstream. But for my number two, I'm going to go with the snap from Avengers Infinity War. I really didn't expect Thanos to win in Infinity War. Even though I knew there was a movie coming out a year later, I thought it was going to be something very, very different. But I was not expecting, because usually more often than not, almost never, the villains never win in the movies, right? And we've been trained that way as superhero films forever. That the villains just don't win. So here you are. Thanos has the glove. All right. You see all the heroes charging at him. And I love this, right? Everybody's like, oh, shoot. He's got all the stones. The glove's ready to go. And then Thor hits him with the axe. And you think that the Avengers somehow pull it off. And then he's like, you should have gone for the head. And then he snaps. And everybody's freaking out. That was, aside from leaving the movie theater after that shitty Star Wars Episode 8, that was the only time I had ever seen a movie theater so quiet. Like somebody, like everybody brought their dogs and then somebody came in and kicked those dogs. Like, that's how dramatic the ending was for Infinity War. Like, nobody said a fucking word.
Nobody saw it coming.
Out of it. that is a movie I would love to see again for the first time. Just the, oh, you know, as they're watching their favorite characters just turn to dust, like the Spider-Man one gets everybody. I remember people getting really sad when Spider-Man was starting to disappear. Everybody hated Star-Lord because he kind of ruined it. Everyone's like, oh, bye, motherfucker, you know, that sort of stuff. But Spider-Man, everybody was sad about. Groot, everybody was sad about. Just the awe and the groans and this just legit sadness when all that happened. I went opening night, too. I went Thursday, like 6 o'clock showing, and I could not I thought I was at, like, a football game with all the way the crowd was cheering and all the way the emotions were. But I did not see the snap coming. I thought there was no way that they're going to make this happen. But, yeah, it was great. I always joke about if they had – like, it's just weird, the timing. If Infinity War released a year later and they did the snap and you had to wait another year to see Endgame and see what happens, but COVID shut down all the movie theaters, so you'd have to wait even longer, or the movie would have been cheapened out because you had to watch it at home. Crazy the timing of that. Like, crazy the timing of that. Like, it lined up perfectly that there was not this extended wait for it. Because I think people would have lost their minds if Infinity War, like, that might have been the turning point of lockdowns, as if Endgame got delayed because of COVID. That might have been a wrap for people. So
that would have been it. I would have ended it all. Right now I'm waiting for the Batman Part 2, and I'm feeling like I'm going to die before that freaking comes out.
I see Pattinson was just complaining about not having started filming yet.
It was hilarious. They asked if they were going to start filming soon, and he was like, I effing hope so. He's like, I'm going to be old by the time this comes out. He's like, I was young Batman when this first is going. He's like, now I'm getting older by the minute. He's like, let's go.
It's crazy that they haven't even started. I think that's awful that they haven't even started filming
yet. It's insane. But it's not a podcast for this, though.
No.
Very good, Matt. I love that.
Thank you.
Brian, you're number two.
My number two is the most modern movie on my list. It's a 2023 film produced and directed by Kenneth Branagh from a screenplay by a man named Michael Green, loosely based on an Agatha Christie novel. And it is a sequel to Death on the Nile, which I did not see.
Oh, I love these movies. I love these movies.
So it stars... the dude that played Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park, right? He's the detective, isn't he?
Wait.
Is he not?
Wait, hold on. So, Death on the Nile.
I never saw it, but that's not the movie I'm doing.
You're doing the one in Venice, right?
Haunting in Venice.
So, no, that's Kenneth Branagh.
That's Kenneth Branagh himself? Okay.
Yes, yeah, so he is Professor Lockhart in Harry Potter. And he also directed the first two Thor movies. But he's Inspector. Yeah, he's the detective in the. I fucking love those movies. I've been dropping a lot of F-bombs tonight.
I know this movie. I thought, what is the movie that I saw that the guy that played Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park was in? Oh, God, I'll have to find that. Classic me, getting my things screwed up. Kenneth Branagh is the bad guy in Wild Wild West. I do know that.
Yes.
So the premise of this movie is this French detective, retired detective, is invited to help figure out a murder that happened while there's like a Halloween party going at this really fancy Venice estate. And the whole movie has that great eerie feel, especially because so many people are in like masks, and so like a lot of like people hiding their faces and stuff like that, and you don't really feel confident in exactly what the end game should be, because there's official police investigation also kind of going on while he's also doing his own thing off to the side. So a part of me was watching it was like, because now I'm you know, 39 years old or whatever. I'm like, oh, I know. It's the police. The police has something to do with this. There's shady stuff going on here. Something to do with them. The reveal, which I'll leave because it's rather recent, so less chance of people being spoiled, or, you know, more often like the people get spoiled of the 2023 movie. The reveal is absolutely fantastic because it pays off emotionally for the whole setup. It makes way more sense with the plot twist.
So. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many books there are in this series. I would love more movies because I think they are very well done. But that was the third one in the series. So there was Murder on the Orient Express.
Right. They're called the Hercule Poirier film series.
Yes. Yeah. Amy brought me to the first one, and I've been obsessed, like Murder on the Orient Express, and I've been absolutely obsessed with those films ever since. Like, if they come up on a random streaming service, I'm sitting there watching. They're so good. They're so good. Good choice. I'm so happy that you've seen this and enjoyed it, but definitely go back. I think the previous two are better. Not better, but I think they're worthy of your time.
Yeah, so Death on the Nile is the one that I first wanted to go and see in theaters, and we just forgot there.
Yeah. Yeah, Gal Gadot's in it, and a couple other great characters. But
like Tina Fey, Jude Hill. I don't know anyone else. Definitely not Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
He might have been a character in one of – I'm trying to think. I don't know. But yeah, I think he maybe got some movies mixed up. But it's all good. It's all good.
Very good. Love those entries.
Number two for you.
My number two is going to be the opposite of yours. It's actually going to be the oldest entry on my list. It's the movie Psycho, the great Alfred Hitchcock film. The twist at the end of that is insane to me still. And even with how old that movie is, it's so well written and so well directed that it gets me out of nowhere every single time. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it, but or are familiar with it at all. Basically, you think the entire time that Norman Bates's mother is killing all the guests that come to the Bates Motel, when in fact it is Norman Bates killing them, dressing up as his mother, and he's been keeping her body on the site in premises. She's died a long time ago. He caught her sleeping with somebody and killed them both, and wasn't able to cope with it, so he was taking on her persona, and it's insane. The violin strings for the killing music will always be one of the most iconic things ever. But that plot twist of it being Norman Bates the entire time when you think it's the mom is so good. So Psycho comes in at my number two.
Great choice. Great choice. Yeah, there's so many iconic moments in that.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so damn good. But that reveal is like... Just when you think it can't get any crazier, here we are.
Inspired, of course, from the inspiration for Psycho comes from Ed Gein.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Life serial killer. More a grave robber, but that's right. Major Chester Campbell is the character that the great Sam Neill played. And Peaky Blinders. That's what it is.
Yes. Okay. Because I knew I had seen something with him as a detective, and I only seen a couple episodes. Like I enjoyed Peaky Blinders, but just shit happened. I could definitely picture him as a detective, but yeah, I could see the script
called Major Inspector. They maybe is what's throwing me off.
Maybe that'll do it. Is.
That will do it.
All right. Just like that, we are on to our number one entry. Matt, your number one plot twist.
Oh, man. I feel like me and Brian at least have the same one here. Maybe not. Okay. I'm going back to the world of Star Wars then. I'm going to go back to Star Wars with, again, I told you these last two were low-hanging fruit. It is the "No, I am your father" line from the end of Empire Strikes Back. again, something that nobody's seen coming. Even the actors didn't know what they were going to do because they filmed multiple angles, multiple different moments with different quotes. In all honesty, too, now that I think about it,
Earl Jones?
James Earl Jones. I can't believe I forgot his name. Rest in peace. The actors might not even known because they could have said, hey, you're going to voice record this in private and just start screaming, Mark Hamill. Just start screaming loud. Insane what that was. You know, it all helped with the character development of Darth Vader because you see him in the first movie, you just think he's this robot. And then you start to see you see not like a robot, but he's, you know, there's something different about him. Why is he in this suit and mask? You see a little bit of him in Empire with the back of his head. And then this reveal at the end, it changes everything. It just like Luke finding out that Leia is his sister, the Vader stuff changes everything. And that has been not even like the most, I think, to me as a Star Wars nerd, that is the most important plot twist in the movies. Like it changed everything. Like this set the, now there's interest in finding out how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. I don't think we get prequels without this moment happening the way that it did, without it going down the way that it did. So it was an excellent choice by Lucas to kind of to go with that angle. And it set up everything, you know, it set up everything for Return of the Jedi, the whole storyline with that and Darth Vader's comeback. But this is my favorite video. Probably one of my favorite videos on YouTube is somebody actually filmed it. The reaction to people saying, so somebody brought a camcorder in 1980 and aired that. And I remember as a kid, the first time I seen it, probably 99, 2000, 2001. And I think that might have been the moment that really hooked me into Star Wars. Like episode one, yeah, great. This is so cool. And I remember my dad saying, oh, Anakin Skywalker, he's Darth Vader. I go, what? No way. That doesn't make sense. And then you watch that moment unfold and it just, the dots start connecting and my world and appreciation for Star Wars forever changed. So that is my number one. No, I'm your father, not Luke. I am your father. Just for those who get that confused, but correct.
Maybe it was Luke. I am your father. But then they did the Hadron Collider and now we live in opposite world.
It's very possible.
That's true. That definitely is true. That's a great one. I don't think that's cliche at all. It's an iconic one that I thought about putting on the list. But honestly, it was so popular by the time I was a kid that I knew it without even seeing Star Wars. Yeah. I just kind of knew it.
Did you get that reveal, or did you already know when you watched Empire?
I already knew.
You already knew, Matt. You already knew.
So I don't think because my dad said he's Darth Vader and I did it at, like we were at Kmart when all the episode one merch came out and they had the hanging signs and stuff of the different characters. And I remember my dad just basically saying, hey, he's Darth Vader. But also at the same time, that doesn't necessarily like, I don't think I really realized the Skywalker part. I just knew, hey, this kid eventually turns into Darth Vader. But I didn't understand, like, the connection to Luke didn't really hit me, I don't think, until I watched it. And I've rewatched the crap out of that scene ever since. So
do you think, to your best recollection, I'm sorry that I don't remember this from our podcast together, but did you watch episode one in theaters and then 4, 5, 6?
That's basically what happened. So the funny thing is, when episode four got re-released in 97...
Yeah.
We went, I think I've told this story a couple times before. We went and I passed out because that desert scene with 3PO and R2-D2 is painful.
Oh, it's brutal.
It's so like rough and I feel like it takes forever.
Years. It takes so fucking long. Why do they take so long with it?
I have no idea. I passed out and I remember like waking up when the credits rolled around because it got super loud. And it's my dad loves to tell that story because it's how in depth I got with Star Wars. But yeah, basically from my memory, episode one was it. And then I wanted to start going back and watching the other one. So it became four. I got four for my birthday in 2000 on VHS. And then five and six, my dad rented from Blockbuster and just fucking recorded it to a VHS. So I had them forever.
Hell yeah.
Beautiful.
That's what you do. That's how I watch Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Recorded off of like a free weekend once again.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Very good.
So it doesn't make my list because I didn't have, there was no plot.
That's fair.
For me.
That's fair.
It was ruined already. I loved it. Didn't matter. It doesn't change my, you know me, but I say all the time, Empire Strikes Back is my favorite Star Wars movie. Maybe Rogue One. Hard to say.
Rogue One is really good.
All right. My number one, have you guys seen Jacob's Ladder?
I have not.
Matt?
Jacob's Ladder? No, I don't believe I have.
I have to be careful.
No, go ahead. Spoil it. I'm terrible with movies.
I don't want to.
It's okay.
One of Tim Robbins' first movies. It's about a Vietnam vet that has horrible PTSD, and he keeps hallucinating and getting all turned around and seeing things that aren't there. And it is the absolute best plot twist of all time. And that's all I'll say. You have to watch it. It's from 1990. It is a total mind F. Total mind F. Not the twist, which it is. I'm saying visually watching this, I will put it to, it's akin to watching Fear and Loathing. You're watching crazy stuff on film. It's very bizarre.
That's awesome.
I loved it the first time I accidentally saw it on TV. And it was a time and age where Brian was experimenting on what their things are in life. And, things make more fun when you're that age and you're doing that stuff. And we found that one, and we watched it probably like three times in a row. Watch Jacob's Ladder. Tim Robbins, phenomenal actor. The director, I don't know if you would necessarily know him. I didn't recognize him. Adrian Lin, I don't know who that is. Screenplay by Bruce Joel Rubin. I don't know who that is. But that's my number one.
All right. Very good.
Love that.
Thank you.
My number one, I don't know. I can't remember if either of you are familiar with this show or not, but it's going to be the season three finale of Sons of Anarchy. I thought, Brian, you watched this show. So basically in season three, without giving a ton away, Jax, the main guy, is kind of being cornered by this federal agent to give information in order for his mom to get immunity about something and him to get immunity because he's getting his son back from Ireland through this crazy series of events that happens. At the end of it, basically he says he'll give information on the club and the Irish mafia in order to get immunity, and Stahl, the agent, double crosses him and basically sells him down the river, saying that like he's a rat and stuff like that. And the whole club's going, "You're dead, you're dead, you're dead," and all this. But then as quick as that happens, and as crazy as that is, all of a sudden you realize they have a plan for it. And two of the people from the Sun's crew kill this guy that was the main antagonist the whole season, and then the agent. And then when they do it, two of their prospects go by the van they're all going to jail in and honk, and all the club members just start laughing sitting in the jail car. It's one of the coolest things ever, because you're the whole time you're questioning, you're like, Jax, are you really doing the right thing here? Like, should you be ratting these guys out like this?
And then because you knew Stahl was just going to betray them. Like she was the worst. You knew she was going to do something to him. And it's so satisfying. And she got one of the club members' wives killed. And that club member is the one who ends up killing her. And that's super satisfying. Brian Hurst. Sandwiching this with Ryan Hurst in both these senses. But it's so good. It's one of the best finales of any TV shows I've ever seen. And just that twist was brilliant. So the season finale of season 3 of Sons of Anarchy makes my list at number 1. Excellent. And there we have it. Our list of TV and movie plot twists, our top 10. This was a fun one to go through. And like I thought at the beginning, this was very much akin to our personalities.
Yes, it was. Yeah, Dan, great choice on this one. Really, really good. I was excited when you said plot twists. And your transitions are just impeccable. Do it going from the John Cena thing to this. So I thank you for doing that. It was nice to kind of go back and look at certain movies that I haven't really watched in a while, and some of them I didn't even remember the names until today. So great choice.
Thank you, sir. Brian gets choice next week, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. He'll have something fun for us, as always.
As long as the puppy cooperates with the big if.
We shall see. Of course, I'm going to plug the YouTube page. We are doing daily list videos now. So they're YouTube shorts. They're random top fives. I have all mapped out for the entire month. So you can go check those out. Please, every like and comment helps out the page tremendously. And, of course, subscribe. We have regular videos on Mondays and Fridays. And I'm just obsessed. I'm obsessed with making lists. That's why I'm still doing the podcast. That's why I'm doing so many different videos for the YouTube channel. I'm actually considering adding a monthly mega list where I list all of something. So which could be insane. So just one a month. I'm weighing my options between ranking all 151 Pokemon instead of just original Pokemon aside from my just first one, or some other kind of means, but You gotta tune into the YouTube channel to find out. That's basically all I can say. Eat Sleep List. Go find it. Go subscribe. Stay tuned. I'm just having the time of my life for it. And for everybody who has participated, subscribed, liked it, I'm having the time of my life, and I appreciate your support.
Been awesome. Agreed. Love it.
You've been killing it. We appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you.
But like us and subscribe anywhere you can. YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, any of our platforms. Leave a review. Let us know how you feel about our content. And until next time, from Matt, Brian, and myself, do you even list?